It's good to be in the Lord's house. I hate that I'm here under these circumstances. I'd rather our pastor be here preaching and wish them well. We're praying for y'all and hope the Lord raises them all up real quick. I know how that sickness can be. I had something going on a couple weeks ago and it's not fun. So y'all continue to pray for him. I appreciate Brother Ben and Sister Rebecca being here today, and I guess we're going to start a football team. They brought the first linebacker with them. He's a pretty good-sized boy, isn't he? Good-looking young man. I got to spend Christmas yesterday with several grandkids and some great-grandkids, and I had a wonderful time. And thank the Lord for my family and ask y'all just to continue to pray for my family. My son, Kenneth, is in from Bolivia, him and my grandson, Michael, and they're in the process of getting paperwork and things. Kenneth and Brooke are getting paperwork for little Olivia, the newborn, and she's got to have all her paperwork in order before they can take her back to Bolivia. And so y'all pray that all that goes smooth and everything. And then my grandson, Michael, is going to be pastoring one of the churches that was started down there. He's already moved over to that area and pastoring that church and trying to grow that church so that they can get a pastor out of the Bible college down there to take that church and then move on to another one and those kind of things. And looks like he's going to be getting married sometime this next year. So y'all pray for him as well. Just glad to be in the Lord's house. I appreciate those songs this morning. I need thee every hour. I thought about that. I got a call or a text. I don't know if it was a call or a text. My wife picked up the phone and pastor asked me to stand in for him today. And it was kind of an odd situation. Well, it was actually on the way home from being down around Cold Springs, our grandkids. I had a lot of things going on this week, and I was very, very weary, very tired, and very sore from certain things that had been going on in my life and working and things like that. And I was praying as I was driving, and I said, Lord, the Lord's day should be a day of rest, right? And it should be. We shouldn't work on Sunday. But I said, Lord, would it be okay if I take tomorrow as a day of rest? I was wore out. And then she said, Brother Chad wants to talk to you. And the Lord, I guess through Brother Chad, said, nope, you're not resting today. So anyway, God is so good, and I'm so thankful. If you will, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Luke. We'll look in, this is Luke chapter 8. And beginning in verse 26, this is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and some of the disciples that were with him in the boat. And they had gone through a trial of their own. And you're pretty familiar with it, where the boat was filling up with water and Jesus was asleep. And they woke up and said, Lord, we perish. Carest thou not that we perish? And all those kind of things. And he woke up and he stilled the wind and the waves. And they marveled at the power that he had over the wind and the waves. And they feared him. And then he said unto them, verse 25, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And that pretty much is the theme of the message. And verse 26 says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asking him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them." That means he allowed them. "Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils, was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again." Now the man of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thy own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the house that you've given us to come and worship. Thank you so much for answered prayer. Thank you, Father, for your healing hand in so many people's lives. And I ask you to touch our pastor, his family, Lord, and Brother Josh and his family, Lord. Just raise them up from this sickness. And Father, just thank you so much for all that you've done for us. God, help us to look into your word and glean from it something, Lord, that would help us in our daily life, something that would cause us to be more dedicated to you, something that would cause us to ask, where is our faith? And God, just Holy Spirit, work in our hearts, I pray. I need you desperately. My body is weak. And Lord, I need you in my spirit. I need you to fill me and use me. Help me to say only what you want me to say, and keep me from saying anything, Lord, that would not be proper. God, thank you for your goodness again, and bless your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. These verses of Scripture, there's two acts of faith, I guess you would say. In the story right before this, the disciples had experienced so many things with Jesus Christ early in his ministry, and they had been witness to so many miracles, so many things that lives changed, people healed, dead raised, all those kinds of things, thousands fed. And yet, whenever it came to their own personal life and a danger that came to them, where was their faith? It's like Jesus Christ can, because of who he is, he can heal anybody. He can heal the lepers. He can raise the dead. He can feed 5,000, 7,000, 4,000, 15,000, however many he wants to feed. He can do all kinds of things because he's God in the flesh and he has such great, great power. He can heal the blind. But when I'm in danger, where is he? When I have a problem, where is he? And they said, he's back here asleep. Don't you care? Well, don't they understand, you know, understanding the fact that if he is God, which he is God, he's God even when he's asleep. And God, the Father, never sleeps. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. But God, the man, Jesus Christ, got tired like you and I. But he remained God. And so there was always a trial in the life of these disciples about their faith. Many times Jesus would say, I've not seen faith like this. No, not in Israel, talking about a Gentile that believed the word of God. And so also some of you may think about the fact that in the book of Matthew, this very same story, I believe, is told. And it says there were two men that came out, and two men that had devils in them. And the story is very, very similar to this, but has more people in it. Well, you got to think that many times the Holy Spirit pulls things and individuals and circumstances and things like that. He will magnify one thing when there's a lot of things going on. For instance, when Jairus came to Jesus Christ and said, my daughter is dying, and she's 12 years old, and she's dying. And while he was on his way to see Jairus' daughter, another woman needed to be healed. She'd been sick for 12 years. She had an issue of blood, been to all the doctors, everything. Nothing could help her. And Jesus felt someone touch his robe, and he stopped in the crowd, people all over, and he said, who touched me? I mean, he's a touchable God, but he sensed that someone's faith had touched him. And he stopped, and the woman said, it was me. And he healed her right there on the spot. Well, it seems that the main story was going to be Jairus' daughter. But the Holy Spirit turned aside for one woman. And then he turned right back, and Jesus went to the house, raised the daughter from the dead. And all that went with that. So the Holy Spirit knows how to do that, besides the fact that these books were written a long time after the happening. And Matthew, which was one of the disciples, was not even a disciple at the time of this story. It was later on, in fact, chapter 9 in the book of Matthew, where Matthew was called away from tax collecting to be a follower of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit knows how to magnify the Word of God so that we can get the best application to our life when he seems and deems necessary. So this is a story about an individual. You are an individual. You are not a group, although you're in a group. But you're an individual, and God deals with you as an individual. And he shows us that here in this chapter. Now, the sad part about the reading of this is that those that were following Christ had no faith or very little faith. And this man who was filled with many hundreds of devils had faith. And he went home changed, and you'll find that these disciples, it took them a long time, probably until after the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, before they truly got it. Sometimes it takes us a long time to walk with the Lord and come to the place to where God really gets a hold of us. And some people, they get saved, and right away, they just hit the road running. Some people, they don't. And that's all up to God. He has to work individually. This man that we see in this particular story here was an uncontrollable man. He could not control himself. He could not be controlled by the magistrates or the people in the city. They had to find him at a time when he was not being agitated by those demons and bind him up and put chains around him, tie him up as tight as they could to keep him from hurting someone or causing trouble. Because they said you couldn't even pass that way where he was. They couldn't even have a funeral because this man living in the tombs would come out and jump on him and all these kinds of things. He was a wild, crazy man. And so he could not be controlled. You know, another thing is that he was totally under the authority of the devil. Completely under the authority of the devil. And when you're under the authority of the devil, you will not subject yourself to the authority of God. And you will not subject yourself to the authorities that God has put into place. You wonder why in our world, in our day and time, when there's so many people that will not follow the law, that will not put themselves under the law, that every time they see someone that's a crook, someone that's an outlaw, they go to his defense. Rather than saying, yes, he's an outlaw. Outlaws need to be taken care of. Those kinds of things. And whenever we find, even in our own government, that people will not submit themselves to the authority, you read the book of Romans and you'll find that God established the legal system. And God tells us in the Word of God that we should obey the authorities over us because they are ordained of God. And when you see even politicians and people going against the Word of God and going against the authority of God and going against the authority of the government, going against the authority of the of our country and things like that, it's a good indication that somebody other than Jesus Christ is in authority over them. They have subjected themselves to the authority of Satan. And as long as they do that, there's no hope for them. But when they come like this man, it says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?" And that's the question that people in our country and around the world need to ask themselves. Because if you're controlled by the devil and you're against the things that God is for, then what have you to do with Jesus Christ and the Almighty God? You have nothing to do with him. Jesus even told the Pharisees, who were the religious people of his day, he said, "You are of your father, the devil," because they had submitted themselves to the devil. That's why it was so easy for them to capture him, torment him, beat him, crucify him, condemn him, judge him, talk about him, discredit him, all of those kinds of things. It's because Satan was their father. And just because a person claims to be religious does not mean that they're a child of God. They have to be submitted to the authority of God the way the Bible says they have to be submitted to Christ as their Lord and Savior. Just because somebody says, "Well, I believe Jesus," the Bible says in the book of James that the devils believe and tremble. And here we have an example of that. The very devils that were inside of this man were scared to death of Christ. Why? Because they knew him when he was in heaven. They knew him before they fell and became the demons of Satan. They were part of the angels of God at one time. Lucifer was once the covering cherub the most beautiful angel in heaven. And Jesus Christ was there when they were made and had a part in making them as the pre-incarnate Christ, the Son of God. And so they knew, and they said, I beseech thee, torment me not. They knew that the day was coming when they would be tormented in hell. And they said, I beg you, don't do it now. Because he told them to come out. And Jesus asked him, the demons, inside the man, what was his name? And he said, legions. Legions is many, 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 many. Because many devils were entered into him. They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine. You know, when I read this, I couldn't help but think about the story of the young man in the book of Luke, I think it is, that left his father and asked his father for his inheritance. And the Bible says, and he went into a far country and wasted his goods. He wasted his money. And he wound up living with harlots and drunkards. And then because his money was gone, they turned against him, because you only have friends in the world as long as you can support them, as long as you can help them with their habit and take care of them. When your money's gone, they're going to look for some other sugar daddy to take care of them. Well, that happened to that young man, and he was in a foreign country, a far country. This country here, the Gadarenes, was on the other side of the Jordan. And so it was a far country, long ways from where his home was. Could it be that this might have even been the place that he went to feed the swine? You see, Jewish people had no dealings with swine. God said they're unclean beasts. You can't eat them. You can't mess with them. Don't be around them. And so when I read this story, I thought, I wonder if this is the place he went. I wonder if he might have even been there when all this was taking place. You think maybe that's had something to do with him coming to himself and going back home. You never know. But anyway, the swine were filled with those demons. They ran into the water and drowned themselves. In our day and time, that'd be a waste of a lot of good bacon. But in their time, Jesus didn't think nothing of it. Well, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man. Now, what's the difference? These people were not saved. They went out and saw Jesus. This one man saw Jesus. This man with devils fell down before Jesus, and something miraculous happened in his life. These people came out and saw Jesus, and nothing happened. What was the difference? It's the same difference when people can come into a church and hear the gospel preached and know the love of God being preached and hear the word of God and see the life changing in other people's lives and all that God is doing and go out the door the same way they came in, not changed. When other people can come and hear the gospel and hit the altar and get saved and their life is totally different from that day forward. What's the difference? I think it has to be something with your motivation. This man saw Jesus, and he had a great need that only God could fill. They saw Jesus and saw him as a troublemaker. You caused our living to die. You're the man that caused the swine to be killed, and that's how we make our living, is raising pigs. You're the man that's causing the trouble. It kind of reminds me of Elijah whenever Ahab was trying to find Elijah to kill him. And finally, Elijah showed up and told Ahab. Ahab said, are you the man causing all the trouble? And he said, no, you are. And a lot of things had to happen for Ahab to see and understand what was going on. But they obviously were not under God's authority either. They went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man that was changed, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now before, he was naked, he was all cut and bruised and crazy, wild-eyed, uncouth, and now he's sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind with clothes on, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devil was healed. So they saw Jesus. They heard the story about what Jesus did, what happened to the pigs, what happened to the man. And then they also told the people of the town and the country how the man got healed, what it was that Jesus did to bring about the man's healing. So they knew all this stuff. And the thing that gets me is the reaction. I see the reaction in our day. I see it on the news. The same reaction. Their reaction was, first of all, we've heard about what you've done. We've heard about what you've done. Now, in the book of Mark, there are four men that get a friend of theirs and put him on a cot and take him to a house because Jesus is there, and they tear the roof off. Why? Why are they trying to get there? Because they heard what Jesus had done. They knew he was in the house. Their motive was to bring him to Jesus in order that he might get healed. Their motive is, we've come to Jesus to try if we can't find out why you messed everything up and try to get you to fix it. We've heard about what you've done. Not only that, but we've seen the change in this man. We don't care about this man. We don't care anything about the fact that he's sitting here clothed in his right mind, looking like he's in Sunday school or something. We don't care about the man. I mean, sure, he was a nuisance. He was harmful. He was scary. He was frightful. Our kids couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't go anywhere around him because of the terror we felt because of this man. But even though he's changed and now he can come into town and everything else, we don't care. That's not our emphasis. Our emphasis is the fact that you messed up something that was beneficial to us. The man is just a man. But the pigs, can you imagine that? Being mad at Jesus for saving somebody and their pigs dying? I'd shoot all the pigs in the world if I'd get somebody saved. We've seen the change in this man. Not only that, but since they were told how he was changed, we know the power you possess. We know the power that you possess. And we're terrified. But we're not even scared of your power. We're scared of the fact that you might even make things worse here than what they are now. We don't want you here. We understand this, how this has affected us. You know, a lot of times you do something really good for someone, and it reminds me when I was a little bitty kid. I used to be kind of a loner. I, I played with other kids, but I like to be by myself and like to draw and things like that. And one time we were over at this old couple's house. I say old couple, they were probably in their 50s. And my mom and dad, my brother and sisters were in the house, and I walked outside and was sitting on their little bitty steps, little concrete steps. And I saw something shiny in the ground, so I scratched around. I found a little triangle-shaped piece of glass that had broken off of something. I don't know. And right next to it, there was a tree about this big around, about 6 feet tall, 7 feet tall, something like that. It was taller than me. And it was a little orange tree. I didn't know what kind it was. All I knew was that the bark was slick and it was green. And for some reason, I took that piece of glass and I cut a little line on that green bark. And I saw it was real white underneath. So I said, wow. So I started making some cuts. I made designs in that bark. And I wasn't trying to do damage. I had no idea. I was not a horticulturist or a Brother Greg. I didn't know anything about trees and all that kind of stuff. I was just making pretty designs about that much all the way around this tree. My dad came out and made real pretty designs on the backside of me. And I never got over it. It traumatized me, for the rest of my psyche's messed up, I guess. I don't know. But later on, this next growing season, I heard those people tell my dad, we never had oranges on that tree until he gourded that tree. It stimulated that tree. And I thought about it. Here, I did something good. I made it produce fruit. And I got the whipping. And that's kind of the situation with Christ, so much of his ministry. He would do good. Remember at Capernaum? They were going to throw him over a cliff and get rid of him. And he had to kind of just hide in the crowd, and he got away. They were always condemning him. Every time he did something good, they would condemn him. Every time he did something that was helpful, somebody would condemn him. And the ones that did the condemning were always the unsaved that were religious, the religious crowd. These people, they thought they're their own people, they're their own authority. They rule themselves. They run things themselves. We don't need anybody here doing anything good and changing the way things are. We don't care if this man got better. We care about the fact that we lost these pigs. It could almost be funny if it wasn't so serious. And then, not only had they heard about what he had done, not only had they seen the change, the glorious change in this man, not only did they know the power that Jesus possessed in order to do that, not only did they understand how it had affected them, all of these things, their final decision was, we want nothing to do with you. We want nothing to do with you. I've actually seen people before that we used to go door knocking a lot. And that's, a long time ago. You could go door knocking and have a good conversation with people and they wouldn't try to shoot you or offer you drugs or something. But I've seen people say, look, I don't want you compelling your religion around here. I don't want anything to do with your God, your Jesus. I don't want anything to do with it. And it's heartbreaking because, they act like I'm in control of my destiny. I do what I want to do. I don't need God. Of course, they call him a crutch for you Christians that are not man enough to get up and take care of things yourself. Well, I'm glad I'm not man enough. I'm glad that I can't try to take care of things myself, because I can't get myself to heaven. I can't be good enough to get to heaven. I can't even control the situations of my life. If I could have, I would have kept my sister-in-law, my daughter-in-law from going blind. I'd have kept my sister-in-law from getting hit by a kid on a bicycle and dying. I'd have kept my mom and dad here. I'd have kept my wife, my daughter-in-law here. You know, if I had the ability to control all that, I'd go to St. Jude's Hospital and clear it out. If I had the ability to control all that. But I don't, and neither do you. Only Jesus Christ has the power to change our life and control our life and bless us with the blessings of God. Only Christ. He is sovereign God. And for somebody to say, I know who you are and I know what you can do, and I don't want anything to do with you. In our day and time, don't be surprised if you hear people say that, because that's what they will say. They have no faith. But I want to show you something. Jesus Christ did not do anything just to do it. Remember when he, in John chapter 4, he said, I needs go through Samaria. And Samaria was a place where the Jews did not travel. Samaritans were the half-breed Jewish and Samaritans from the Assyrians and things like that back when captivity, back years and years before. And they tried to pollute the Jewish line by putting their people in with them. And so they were outcast from the Jewish nation, you might say. But they knew about God and they worshiped God and different things in their own way. But he said, I need to go through Samaria. And he went and sat next to a well, and there was a particular woman that came at noontime. Women didn't draw water at noontime. They went early in the morning, late in the evening. And she was there by herself because she was an outcast. She was supposedly in a harlot, had five wives, husbands, and the one she's living with was not her husband. But Jesus was sitting there, and he had a conversation with her. And through that conversation, she wound up getting saved, and she went into the town, and she told the men, come see a man who's told me all things. And a crowd of people came from the town out to see Jesus. Well, do you realize that there was a movement of people getting saved right there in Samaria? Do you realize in the Gadarenes that Jesus Christ had done what he did for this particular man, but there was a broader scope? Because even though these people asked Jesus to leave and told him to get away, look what Jesus does. Verse 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. Now all the other disciples, people that got saved, there was a great following behind Christ. Everywhere he went, they were following him. But for some reason, Jesus said, return to thy own house. In other words, you got a house in that city. That city don't want to have anything to do with me now. But you go into that city and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, this man went his way, and he published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. In other words, God said, I want you to go back home and start giving your testimony to all your neighbors. And not all your neighbors, but all the folks on the other side of town, and in town, out of town, all these people. And the man published his testimony about the goodness of God throughout that whole city. He was an evangelist. Now, out of all of that, do you think Jesus was expecting nobody to pay attention? Would Jesus send that man back into his own city to give his testimony to people that had rejected Christ if Jesus didn't believe that some of those folks are going to get saved? Sure. That's just like on the day of Pentecost. Many of the people that got saved were the very people that said, "Crucify him," and had turned away from him. And so Jesus Christ lays the foundation through these miracles, and the everywhere he went, he would lay the foundation. He would preach the gospel. He would do great wonders that people could see, and folks would wind up getting saved. Well, isn't that what a church is for? Aren't we the ones that's supposed to tell other people that don't want to have anything to do with Jesus that he's a great God? He's a lover of mankind. He blesses us daily with blessings. He saved our soul. He saved our life. He's healed us many times from different sicknesses, and will continue to until it's time for our time to go home. And so those people, you know, the crowds always came in the days when Jesus was here. There was always a crowd coming in when they heard that Jesus was in the house. Now, if all these people in Jacksonville got under conviction and they heard that Jesus was in this house, you know, we'd have a crowd. We would have a crowd because they would recognize they have a need and he's the one that can take care of it. Father, thank you for your word this morning.